in Seattle, Seattle. And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you, because we're the realtors that you can trust. So go to RodandConsidDow.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at ronanddon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to episode 702 of the Ron and Don Show, and we are back live in the Les Schwab Studios.
What is up, Ron and Don Nation?
Hey, coming up on the Ron and Don Show, something pretty darn cool. Ron and I shared a journey with a good friend of ours by the name of Gary Verrill. Ron, we have a special guest in studio, and we'll introduce everyone to our special guest here in a moment. But who was Gary Verrill?
Gary was just, for me, he was that guy that you meet in your life in your 20s that you don't know at the time is going to have an incredibly outsized impact on just the way you view the world and the way you move through the world, because he was just an extraordinary guy. Like, the more you hung out with him, here's what I'll say. Things would unveil itself like the petals of an onion. You go deeper and deeper. It wouldn't have shocked me if one day Gary was like, when I was on the moon, because he would say things where you're just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Anything from when I rode my bicycle across America, or I was playing one time with Michael McDonald. You're like, what do you mean? He goes, I was playing this gig and Michael McDonald came over, and or Steve Miller, or, you know, Prince. He would tell you these stories. You're like, wait, you were playing with Prince? Like, time out. How does someone even, he was a musician, he was a cyclist, he was a dad, then he was one of our best friends throughout the years. And so it gave me a vantage point of going, okay, like, if Gary can do all these things, then I should have big dreams.
Yeah. Gary found out about 10 years ago he had cancer. Gary never drank. He never smoked. He raised a whole bunch of kids with his beautiful wife, Signe. He recently passed away. And on one of the episodes, in fact, we'll put the episodes in the show note, a few episodes ago, we talked and shared with you what we talked about when we had the opportunity and the honor to speak at his eulogy. A number of years ago, before Gary died, he called me, and they were getting ready to sell the family home right out Highway 2. And so Ron and I went out there. The road was in disrepair, so we worked on the road. One of the railings on the porch was in disrepair. Ron worked on that. Family and friends came together. Repaired the home. Our good friend Andy O'Shea brought it to market. They sold the home because he was concerned about there being enough money left in order to take care of his beautiful wife. So anyway, after that, they moved out to Whidbey Island. That's where he would spend his final days. When Gary found out he had cancer, they said he had 6 months to live. He lived another 9.5 years. And they say it's because he took such great care of himself. He's a Ram rider, a Race Across America rider. And Ron, you were telling me it was back in the 80s. They actually came in fifth place on this crazy bike ride where you start in the Pacific and you end in the Atlantic. Is that right?
Yeah, it still goes on to this day. It's very different than it was back in the 80s. The premise was this. Let's get the world's greatest long-distance bicyclists. We will start with 1 foot in the Pacific Ocean, and then the first person that makes it to the Atlantic Ocean wins.
Yeah.
And they would draw up a route, and it started with just, you know, maybe a dozen people, and they'd get on their bike, and no rules other than whoever gets there first.
Yeah.
And you couldn't draft.
Yeah.
So you couldn't draft off of anybody, and whoever got there first wins.
You could pull up next to a guy and you could chat with him, I think, for a couple minutes, but then either you had to pull ahead or fall behind, I think was the rule on that.
Yeah. And so guys had different strategies. Like, one guy would just ride from California to New Mexico before he got off the bike the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then other guys were more tortoise in the hair stuff of like, I'm going to ride 400 miles a day on a bicycle and then sleep an hour or whatever. It's a fascinating journey. You can find old footage on ABC Wide World of Sports and on YouTube. Now it's more, a little more commercialized and polished, and there are divisions and teams and male and female and tandems and mixed tandems and all of these different divisions. But I believe the world record with some of the team things is on, like 7 days.
No, it's like 4 days. Yeah, with the teams, four guys. Yeah, it's insane.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's like it's like just over 4 days. And anyway, that's where kind of the Ron and Don show started. We were out on a sag wagon. There was no Apple Music then. We were Apple Music. There was a big speaker on top of a van that was a support vehicle, and we would talk all night, just try to keep your cyclists awake. And the next thing you know, this podcast, this radio show of 30 years was born. So Gary was a very important friend to us. I rode bikes with him back in my 20s. I remember when I was going through a hard time, I couldn't afford a bike. And so he said, I got a bike for you. He gave me a bike, Ron a bike. We rode these bikes. They had toe clips. They were old technology. They were called Davidson bikes, made right here in Seattle by the Davidson brothers. They sponsored Gary. Over the years, he had 17 of these bikes. So as I was sharing a number of years ago, when we were out there repairing the road to his house, he called me and he said, hey, I have something for you. And he actually gave me a picture. And the picture, and this is so cool, is a picture of me. And I do this now for people. I will take a picture of them doing something really cool. And then you can go online, like with Share It or Snap It or Frame It. And you can actually send it to, you can have it frame and send it to them. I just went to Maui with some friends. I took a really cool picture of them. They didn't see to thank them. And I sent this picture to them in the mail. They went, wow, this is really cool. Thanks for this. So I try to do that during the holidays. Because Gary did it for me before you could snap it or frame it on the internet. He framed something and wrote something really cool about always finishing in life, hammering on through to the end, finishing strong. So he said, hey, you know, I'm dying of cancer. I want you to have this final bike. I had heard you guys talk to Ed Ewing before, and I know that Ed Ewing helps kids. And I was wondering if somehow this bike, he goes, and I don't know if a kid could ride it or what you could do with the bike because it's such old technology. He was wondering, how could this bike help kids? And I said, you know, I will reach out to Ed and I will find out. Ed is here with us. We will talk to him next. You're listening to Ron and Don Show, back in 60 seconds. Hey, you guys, I got some exciting news. Now through March 2nd, they're having their Founders Day sale at Les Schwab. Who's Les Schwab? Well, you know, they sponsor this show. You know, they do a lot of great things in the community. In fact, this Thanksgiving, raise a lot of food. And during the holidays, yeah, raise a lot of toys. Thing I love about Les Schwab is he loves the community. He's been doing it. In fact, instilling their family values since 1952 in all our communities. 70 years earning your trust. Right now, the Founders Day sale. It's a thank you to all the customers out there. Get this. You can save up to $150. That's right, $150 when you buy a set of four select tires. And all you got to do when you go in is say that Ron and Don sent you. All right? For that location near you, all you need to do is go to LesSchwab.com. That's LesSchwab.com. Les Schwab, let's say it together. They've been doing the right thing since 1952. All right, so this is how real estate works. I'm at a Seahawks game, and I'm watching the Seahawks win the Super Bowl, and I'm in my friend George's seat, and I'm sitting next to my friend Mike Martin. Known Mike now over a decade. He calls me the other day, says, hey, I got a tech friend. He's in Hawaii. He owned a property in Green Lake. He's going to fix it up. He went to Hawaii. He said, I'm never going home. So he's had this rental now for 10 years. His name is Jude. So Mike puts me in touch with Jude. Jude calls me and says, hey, I got to sell this house. I call Scotty. We go over the house. And this house has a foundation problem. It has a roof problem. It has lots of problems. And in order to fix this house and bring it to market, it's going to take about $100,000. And then the house is going to be worth about $925,000. Anyway, there's a builder that Jude knows that says, hey, well, I'll give you $835,000. And then there's a neighbor that says, hey, I'll give you $850,000. And then what I did is I got on the phone with one of my builder friends. Because, again, I don't like seeing homes torn down, but there's some that have to be torn down when they have bad foundations, right? And this is a home that has to come down. This builder said, you know what? I'll pay $1,060,000. $50,000 for that particular house. So, case closed. There are builders right now paying more for properties than people are willing to pay when they step in and say, wow, this thing has a bad foundation. This thing is still in oil. This has a bad roof. There's a lot of work to do here. So while many homes I like to see restored, some can't be, right? So when you need us, if you have a piece of property, if you have an old home that has a bad leaky roof, lots of deferred maintenance, call us. Because sometimes the best thing to do is to fix it up and bring it to market if you have the funds to do so. And sometimes the best thing to do is to create a new property and reimagine it. Because guess what? Here in Seattle, yeah, there's not a lot of property just laying around. So when you need us, whether it's wholesale, retail, investing, buying, selling, let's sit down. RonandDonSitDown.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. We've been talking about my friend Gary Verrill, who passed a couple of months ago, Ron's friend as well. We call him 55 because you're assigned a RAM number, and his RAM number, it's a lifetime number, was 55.
And so RAM stands for Race Across America.
Yeah. Anyway, Ed Ewing is here, and Ed had been on our podcast before and also on our radio show. Gary had heard this, and with his final bike, his last bike, in fact, he gave me the bike that I rode up Mount Constitution in my 20s when I was going through a lot. And that's when he said, you know what? Sometimes you just need to get on a bike, put on your thinking cap, get away from life in the world, get around people you know that love and care about you, or sometimes just get out by yourself. That's what he loved about being out on the bike, was the fact that he could really spend some time thinking. And I think for a lot of us, we fall into the world every day and we immediately turn on a podcast, or we immediately turn on the news, and the news isn't always good news, right? Or immediately start flipping through Twitter or Facebook or see what's going on TikTok. And that wasn't Gary. In fact, Gary walked around with a flip phone. I could never really text him because you couldn't text him. He didn't do that. He had an AOL account, I think, still, but when he passed away and died, it was sometimes hard to get a hold of him, and there was something cool in all that. And we had shared before, whenever you sat with Gary, he had this ability just to be present with you. And I remember on some of the hospital visits with him, it was just I eating some Gary Queen cherry pie, because we loved to eat those things when we were out riding bikes. And I'd often say, hey, do you need anything? And he'd say, no, I just need to sit here with you. And why would I need anything? I have cherry pie and I have you. So it was really a beautiful thing. Ed is here. Ed works with young people and kids. He works with an organization called Bike Works, and also he knows a lot about the Major Taylor Project. That's how I met Ed a number of years ago. Ed, welcome. Great to have you. You are a great, phenomenal cyclist yourself, and I just am so happy you're here. Remind everybody real quick what Bike Works is, and also what the Major Taylor Project is. Thanks for being here, man.
Thank you both, Ron and Don. It's great to be here. It's great to see you guys again. Thank you for your friendship and this opportunity. I'm just... I'm very touched by this. And the common thread is the bicycle. So for Gary to know of me, and who has led such a fulfilled life, and to be able to receive this bike that has given him so much joy and so much inspiration, has inspired others. I am very touched by this. I think about my life and what the bicycle has done for me. And how I've, you know, turned my passion for the bicycle into my career. I feel very, very blessed and lucky every day. Every day I say thanks for this life that I have. And it's led me to this wonderful organization, Bike Works, as executive director. I never would have guessed that an opportunity like this would have materialized in the middle of 2020, you know, after the murder of George Floyd, in the middle of COVID, to really, you know, be offered my dream job, something that I've worked for my entire career, you know, and the bicycle. I didn't always have it figured out, but I always took my bike with me in my career, if I, in my travels, you know, and traveling through Montana and Washington. And like Gary, like you both, turning off the cell phone, getting away from the computer, and using the bicycle to process thoughts, to connect with myself, to connect with others, to build community. It's just been a really powerful, transformative thing in my life. So to be leading Bike Works, a 28-year-old organization that our focus is social justice and racial equity, it's also an honor.
How do you arrive at those two things through bicycles?
Well, you look at bikes and you look at, you know, traditionally where the bike market has served, and it's not a very diverse sport. It's becoming, or recreation, it's becoming more and more so. But typically it's been white, it's been male. And this was recognized back in the 90s when Bike Works was founded. And also it's access to transportation. And it's affordable transportation. And how do we make bicycles affordable for all? With Bike Works, we specifically focus in the South End. We're based in Columbia City. The 98118 area code, excuse me, zip code, which at one time was the most diverse zip code in the nation. And so we're very intentional about the communities we serve. If you look at Seattle, Seattle is a very segregated city by geography. Rainier Valley and the Central District used to be the blackest and most diverse parts of Seattle. And a lot of that diversity has changed with Seattle kind of growing and changing, that diversity moving south. So we've been very intentional about focusing in the areas where you have the most diverse demographic, the highest need, and we judge need by free reduced lunch percentages in schools. And we're very intentional and we're very unapologetic about that.
So can a young person come to you and get a bicycle? Is that basically what you do?
Yeah, a young person and an adult. You know, we have a small bike shop in, a nonprofit bike shop in Columbia City that's been there, you know, for forever. It's kind of the heartbeat of Columbia City, and we service young people and adults. And if you need a bike, we make sure that you know, you get a bike. We're very well known for our youth programs. We have summer camps, in-school programming. We have Earn a Bike camps. We will structure these camps and outreach to engage youth differently. But the bicycle is just the tool. The really, what we do is the transformative work is just the bicycle as a tool, as the hook to get the youth in and to talk to the youth and build relationships with them. To ask them questions like, where do they want to go in their life, you know, and how can we help them achieve that? But the bicycle really is just a method to break the ice. Some kids learn well in a classroom, some don't. Some are more mechanically inclined. And so, like myself, the bicycle was a sense of accomplishment. It helped me develop a sense of self. And it's the same thing for youth today, I think even more so now.
One of the things that you guys do that I love the most, because Don and I work with kids way back in the day, is you give them a chance to accomplish something that they think they couldn't have accomplished. And whether that means a 50-mile ride or riding from Seattle to Portland, and in their wildest dreams, there's like, I could never ride a bike that far. And then the next thing you know, they get swept up in the camaraderie and they've can look back. I remember that feeling as a kid of going, I didn't think I could make it through two a days, and I did. And whether or not I make the team kind of doesn't matter, because I did something that I never thought I would do.
Yeah, it's every time I see it, every time I'm around it, it just blows my mind. And it's about setting the expectation, creating the possibility, and then providing supports for the youth to achieve this goal. And that was one of the main genesis of the Major Taylor Project that was created in 2007 with myself, Dr. John Vassell, Dr. Rayburn Lewis, and former King County Executive Ron Sims. And at the time, and then still, it was at Cascade Bicycle Club. And now we've partnered with Cascade.
And we should just say real quick, Major Taylor is not a military figure.
No, Major Taylor was the first African-American world champion cyclist in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And so the initiative is named in his spirit. And STP, the Seattle-Portland Ride, which is a Cascade Bicycle Club event, was an afterthought. The primary goal of the Major Taylor Project was and is to reach youth of color, low-income youth, and to surround them with support, understand, learn more about them, and support them in their goals, regardless of the bike. And the genesis of Major Taylor Ride and STP was a student came to me and said, hey, I heard there's this bike ride where 10,000 people ride the bike to Portland. Could we do that? I'm like, sure, you could do that. And then I had a student ask me, why would you want to ride your bike to Portland?
Exactly.
I couldn't answer him. I could not. I still can't answer him. And I said, no, I just trust this. It's a lot of fun. And, we started in March, this time of year, with slow rides around the community, White Center, South Park, Rainier Beach, the Central District. And just took kids on rides to explore their community and parks in their community. And then slowly went from 3 miles to 5 miles and then 15 miles. And then we asked the students, where do you want to ride? Well, can we ride to University of Washington? Sure, let's do that. Can we ride to Mercer Island? Yeah, let's do that. And then can we ride to Pike Place Market? Yeah, let's figure it out. Let's get out the map. Let's find a bike lane. Let's work with transit. Let's work with light rail. Let's figure that out. And slowly but surely, and then they're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. So they have legs and abundance of energy. But a lot of these students didn't fit in traditional sports like basketball, football, track. And there's also the pay to play element there. And that's what right. They really liked about bike club is what they call bike club is that it's not competitive. It's all based in community and we're out together exploring. We're helping one another explore the community.
You want everyone to finish.
You want everybody to finish. So it was great to see these students, in March ride 3 to 5 miles and then in July ready to take on 200 miles. And finish, get off the bike and ask us what's next. What's next? I see some people are doing this in one day. Can we do it in one day? Yeah, let's figure out how to do that in one day. And then you have students who will get off the bike and never pick up a bike again, but now they've taught themselves how to skate ski, the cross-country ski. It's become possible. We had students literally who did not know how to get to UW, literally. And they had the grades, they just didn't know how to navigate to get there. But by giving them a bike and they're earning a bike, they're able to ride their bike to school or ride their bike to light rail to get to school. And then graduate from UW in engineering or go on to Gonzaga. It was just the bike just unlocked their world. And so that's why I say the bike is just a tool. It's a tool to unlock their world. It's a tool to unlock adults' worlds. And that's what gives me joy. And that's what keeps me doing what I'm doing.
Let's come back. I went to a morning breakfast that you had and it was all white people and then African-American Ed Ewing. This connection that you've made is really extraordinary. And I want to talk more about that next.
Hey, it's Ron and Don here with Mitch Weeks. You know him better as Mitch.Loans. Mitch, you have a really cool new product for investors. I think it's kind of the first I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, so we have a great new investor cash flow program. And what this is we take the house you are buying and we inspect it, not you, the borrower. And so what we do is we look at the house and we say, will it cash flow? If you put 20% down, will it make more money than it's going to cost you to keep paying off your mortgage? And if it does, it's yours. It doesn't matter what you make on your own. It doesn't matter all these other things that we usually have to document. They don't matter. They're gone. It's just, does this house make sense? And if it does, you can buy. buy it.
All right, so you can go up to four doors, up to four units on this. And Don and I have never heard of a product like this. It's pretty exciting if you've been wanting to get into the investment game. So go to Mitch.loans right now. Set up a time to talk to Mitch, see if you qualify for this new program. That's Mitch.loans.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. Ed Ewan is here with the Major Taylor Project, also with Bike Works, and I'm about to give him a bike, Gary's bike, here in a moment. Before we do that, though, a number of years ago, you'd asked me to do two things. One, you wanted me to come to this breakfast, so I went to the breakfast, and it seems like there were the 1,000 white people there and you. What was that breakfast about, and what gives you the courage, really, because I was intimidated for you. I looked around and I went, how does this guy walk in the room? And you own that room. And people in that room love you. They love you. And people in cycling love you. And Ed is a legend. He's an amazing cyclist. He's very humble about it. But you never want to ride up on him and say, let's go, because he's going to go and you're going to stay. And that's going to be it. He's going to blow your doors off. It's ridiculous. He's a great, great cyclist. How have you made this bridge? What gave you the courage to do that? Because here you are, this activist on a bicycle, right? You remind me of one of my friends that coaches now. His name is Joey Thomas. He played for the Green Bay Packers. He was a coach at Garfield. Garfield, those are some of the first students around the country to take a knee, and not because Joey told them to, but he certainly paid a price, and they turned around. They wanted to run him from that job. I met Joey when he was coaching over here in Ballard. Now he's coaching for the University of Texas, and now he's moving on to the University of Nevada. But he told me, he goes, you know what? I'm not a football coach. He goes, I'm an activist with a whistle. And Ed, that's what you are. You're an activist with a bicycle. And I saw that there when we had that breakfast that morning with the Cascade Bicycle Club. It was extraordinary, your relationship with the bicycle community, which you just said, yeah, it's a very, very white community. How did you build this bridge, and where'd you find the courage to do so?
It's my parents. It's 100% my parents, the guidance, the direction, the character, the modeling, the support that they provided my brother and I. It's 100% them. No one can tell me. No one can tell me that I don't belong in the bike world. No one can tell me that the possibility that I have for myself that is not there for other youth and adults that look like me. No one can tell me that. No one can take that away from me. And there's a certain fierceness there that even in creating the Major Taylor Project, and even me being an executive director at Bike Works, a black executive director in the bike world, the static that comes my way, you would not believe it. Actually, you would believe it. But that in itself, you have to have that fierceness, and it's 100% my parents. And modeling their behavior. My dad rode his bike to work every day. My dad was this amazing golfer who shot his age into his 80s. Mm. My mom rode bikes as well. And my brother and I grew up, and in the basement, we had my dad's trophy case. And in the trophy case, there were trophies from golf tournaments in first place in the Negro League, quote unquote Negro Leagues. And my dad was like, you know what? The golf course doesn't know what color you are. The ball doesn't know what color you are. You just play the game. It's you against the game. And so for me entering in the cycling world, that's what drives me. You know, it's like, no one can tell me that I can't be here. I don't know how to ride a bike. I don't have the abilities that I do. I mean, it's 100% for my parents.
Yeah. I saw you one year on the Seattle to Portland, and you had told me, you said, you know, some of these kids have, not only have they never been to the University of Washington, the first time they'll ever go out of state is when they cross the Washington-Oregon line.
Right.
You were driving the sag wagon that year. Some of the kids ride the half day, and then you have some of the kids that ride the full day. They were extraordinary. I got to see with my own eyeballs, and they're not even clipped in. They're just paddling along. And these kids are hammers. What is it like for you when you're, and for those that don't know, a sag wagon is a support vehicle and you're providing food, water, and encouragement. What is it like for you when you see the kids get to the halfway point? And then what about these extraordinary kids? And they're all extraordinary. That do that ride in one day. That's over 200 miles, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, it's 206 to be exact. And at that time, we were starting from Magnuson Park, so it's actually 210 miles. And again, going back to my parents and the upbringing that my brother and I had, it's setting the expectation and providing the support to get there. It wasn't what college do you want to go to. It's when you go to college. It's not if you want to go to college, it's what college you want to go to. That expectation was already set. So it's the same thing with what we do at Bike Works, what we do with Major Taylor. It's setting that expectation and providing the support for the youth to get there. And there's no magic formula. And it's also being consistent in delivering that and seeing the possibility for youth, building those relationships, involving community in that. And it's not just for youth. For the past 2 years at Bike Works, we have supported Black and Brown adults in riding STP. And there's a lot of adults in this group. We had 37 last year, and I think 40 the year before. And for a lot of these adults, doing 100 miles, it was their first time. It was their first time doing 50 miles. Mm. There were some staff members that I work with. Those are their first time riding 100 miles.
Yeah.
And seeing that transformation in them, and it brought me to tears. And to see people actually change over the weekend, it's a pretty wonderful thing. And then to see when they get to Portland, when they're done with the ride, asking what's next. You know, some youth, some adults will start doing bike packing or will try bike racing. And, you know, it's wonderful to provide support and to be in a support role there. And but it's setting the expectation and the providing the support and being consistent in that support.
And how many people have done it through Bike Works and Major Taylor?
Oh my goodness. Through Major Taylor, I would say close to 3,000 youth.
Wow.
Over the past 15
years.
Wow.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah. And I'd say probably 15% of that 3,000 have done it in a day.
Yeah.
And all total with Bike Works over the past 2 years, we've probably had 80 adults complete STP.
Have you had kids that came back to you that are now adults that are married that have a kid and come back and say, "Hey, Ed, I couldn't say it at the time, but I want to say it now."
Yeah, yeah, they're working at Bike Works. Yeah, it's great. They're working at Bike Works. One guy, Cooper Barry Smith, we met. He went to Cleveland High School, graduated, became a ride leader. Then was a shop mechanic at Back Alley Bike Repair with Ben Rainbow down there, and then Cooper left Back Alley and joined Bike Works in the shop 2 years ago, and now he's a full time project coordinator. Hmm. You know, we've seen that over and over and over again, and even now I live in West Seattle. I'll be riding Alki and I'll see an old Major Taylor alum or a Bike Works alum out running. And, you know, one guy now is an aviation mechanic at Boeing Field and has a family of three, you know, and it's, but everybody and some are, you know, graduated from law school. Some are in Olympia as a clerk or a lobbyist who use the bike as a tool to get back and forth to law school and put away the bike, picked up cross country skiing or picked up marathoning or picked up mountain climbing. You know, I get pictures of youth on top of a summit, you know, of Rainier, and the bike helped them expand their possibilities of how they see themselves in the world. And now they're inspiring other folks to do things like
that. It ignites the light.
It does. And for me, it's I don't care. The goal is never for youth to become a bike racer or an avid commuter. It's just like the things that you learn on the bike, the community that you develop, that community never goes away, the bike community, and you have that in common. It's like all why the three of us are sitting here is because of the bicycle. Mm-hmm. And so I see that same possibility for other youth and other adults, and specifically for other youth of color and other adults of color.
I want my name to be Cooper Barry Smith. Cooper Barry Smith? That might be the greatest name ever.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, he's a really great guy.
Wow.
I've known Cooper for a while, and I'm 58, about to be 59. I think Cooper is maybe 24, 25.
Yeah.
But the thing we have in common, other than bikes, is drum and bass music.
That's great.
And we connect. I send him playlists all the time. I was like, hey, did you listen to that? He's like, nah, man, but there's a show in Ballard. Did you should come? I'm like,
yeah.
Do you think me at 58, I'm going to fit in this crowd, Cooper? He's like, yeah, just show up. It'll be good. So, but then again, it's the bicycle that's the start. And like you said earlier, Ron, as far as peeling back the onion, then there's more things in common that you find with people. But the bike is the constant, the common denominator.
I have to say with Major Taylor, it's cool to either when I'm driving around the city or riding around the city and anywhere I go, I'll see Major Taylor jerseys that maybe somebody rode on the STP. Mm-hmm. And it's everyone, all shapes and sizes.
Yes.
And it's white, it's black, it's brown, it's women, it's boys, it's men, it's teen. That is really cool to see.
Yes.
To see those jerseys on everyone. And if you don't know who Major Taylor is, I believe that, is it a Netflix special that's coming out on Major Taylor?
It's actually out now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's an amazing documentary.
Is it?
Yes, it's out now. It's an amazing documentary. There have been several, and then there's a motion picture in the works
as well.
Yeah, okay. It's taken a long time for fundraising and whatnot, but the documentary is very, very good.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of clubs around the country that are named after Major Taylor, named in his spirit. A lot of these clubs, the focus is in the black cycling community and to get more people out in recreation and building community. A lot of folks still don't know who Major Taylor was. And a lot of things that Major Taylor went through in his life are still present today and haven't changed.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of efforts to make cycling more diverse. The Williams brothers, who are pro cyclists, what they've been doing with Legion in LA has just been phenomenal. You're seeing a lot of Latino groups, a lot of Asian groups. There's ABC here in Seattle that are just getting more folks of color, introducing them to bikes, on bikes, being in community. There's North Star Cycling that has done a fantastic job. I ride with them every Wednesday night. And if it wasn't for North Star Cycling, I would not have started racing again.
That's awesome.
You know, and to be surrounded by young folks, they call me OG. But to be surrounded by young folks, I told the founder of North Star, Edwin Lindo, We completed a couple laps around Mercer Island. I've been riding with them for like 3 years. And after one lap, and I was just struggling to hold on because you had like 40 young folks all of God. I was like, dude, I've been riding my bike for 40 some years and I have never experienced this. I had never experienced the power of riding in community with folks that look like me. And quickly realized that, okay, I'm the elder of this group and it's time to step aside or pull somebody else to the front. But they had no idea who I was.
I thought you were going to say it was time to put the hammer down and show these kids what's what.
Well, that was last year and hopefully this year, you know, because a lot of them didn't know that I raced bicycles. You know, they just like, who's this old cat with gray hair here, barely hanging on? But it inspired me to train harder and not to be competitive with it, but to show, you know, this young crew, you know, what this old G's still got.
It's not a race. It's always a race. It's always a race. It's always a race.
If it wasn't for those Wednesday nights, you know, I would not have started racing again.
Yeah. Ron, is the file getting too big? Do we need to take a break and come back? Or are we all right?
We can go.
Okay. So let's do this before you get out of here today. I want to encourage everyone. Ron and I see this all the time. We go through people's stuff. And there's a lot of cool stuff in there that's been cool stuff for decades. And you should have giving that away to someone that could use it. I went through this last night, knowing that we're going to give you Gary's bike today.
Right.
We're going to follow the journey of this bike. It's a bike I rode in my 20s. It's a very old bike. It's a relic. You can still see Race Across America. His number 55 is on it. His old Brooks saddle. It's an old relic of a bike. We're going to follow the journey of that bike, and we're going to see how that bike ends up helping Bike Works, right? So we don't know exactly what we're going to do with it today, but we're going to follow the journey of that bike. Along with that, it got my son and I to talking. I have these bikes that I've ridden across America. I was never a Ram rider, anything like Gary. Don't compare, not trying to. One of the bikes down there, I actually rode in the Major Taylor Project the one day with you guys one year. And the kids rode up on me and they go, whoa, where'd you get that thing? That's an antique. And so they called me the relic on the ride. That was my nickname. They started calling me the relic.
Sooner or later, hey,
we're riding with the relic.
Sooner or later, we just have to own it.
Yeah. So anyway, my son loves these old bikes of mine. And I said, you know what? You can keep one, but the rest were given away to Bike Works. And I said, I don't even know if they'll be worth anything. And he said, well, are you going to take some of the cool things off it? Because they have some lights on them and some pedals and all that. And I said, no, we are going to give them just as they are. Because you know what? Stripping something down and taking the things that you want and then devaluing that and giving that to someone else, that's not really helping. So I said, the hard thing is to take something that you really love and care about and give that away.
Right.
So these bikes, I love, my names are on them. Especially my postal bike, my Lance Armstrong postal bike I'm really attached to them. But today I'm going to detach myself from this stuff because it's just stuff.
I want to interrupt you right there. What memory comes to mind when you think of that white Lance Armstrong bike? Because I watched you ride that from Canada to Mexico.
Yeah.
What's the number one memory that comes to your mind?
I think for me, knowing I was doing that ride for breast cancer, Brides Against Breast Cancer, knowing that my mom was going to show up on a bike after she'd been diagnosed, knowing that Ron knew that she was going to show up on this bike, I did not know. And when I was rolling through Phoenix, she got on a bicycle and I was on that bike and she rode 1 mile with me. Of these 2,100 miles. And in the middle of it, she scolded me and she was serious, for riding on the street. Donald, you're not going to I've been riding this bike on the interstate for 2,000 miles, and she scolded me for riding on the street. And I went, that is my mother. So anyway, I'm giving you my Postal Service bike today.
Thank you.
My legend bike that my friend Paul built for me down in Texas. That's the one I did on the Major Taylor. That's been those have both been across America with me a couple times. We're giving you Gary's bike, and then also a bike that I had a hard time coming up with for my son during COVID. He outgrew that bike, and I was taking a picture of him with this morning, and he goes, Daddy, I hope, because he still calls me Daddy in private moments. He goes, I hope this brings another kid a lot of joy in the same way, because it's the first bike he really started to ride to fall in love with cycling and biking. And he said, I hope it gives them as much joy as it gave me. So we're going to give you these bikes today.
Thank you.
I don't know what we're going to do with them. And it was interesting because I said, do you want me to go sell these bikes and just give you the money? And you said, no, give me the bikes. For people that are listening that have bikes or that don't have bikes, and maybe they heard this story today and they want to support you and they do want to give money or they do want to drop a bike off, and don't drop some, I'll be careful, don't strip the bike down, just whatever it is, give it with love, man.
Bring it as is.
Yeah, especially black and brown communities. Yeah. White people have been stripping things down and giving away for a long time. They don't need that, right?
Well, that's a whole nother podcast.
That's a
whole nother episode.
So anyway, for people that are listening, how can they help with Bike Works, Major Taylor, and what you guys are doing now?
Yeah, it's donations are a huge help, and we receive at Bike Works, we receive between 6,000 to 8,000 bike donations a year.
Is that right?
Yeah. In fact, in 2020, we received probably 8,400 bikes because people were sitting around there cleaning out the garage and I'm not going to ride this thing anymore. But that really fuels and drives our business. And above the 6,000 to 8,000 bikes donated a year, we probably use 28% of those. Mm-hmm. Our yield is probably 28%. The rest we either strip down or we can't use, and we work with a couple of recyclers, or we work with a couple of organizations that send those bikes to Africa. Mm-hmm. So everything gets used.
That's
everything
awesome.
Has a purpose. You know, just the other day we received this custom 7 titanium bike that this individual brought it in and said, you know, I'm not riding this much anymore. Mm-hmm. Here, take it. This is probably a $12,000 bike. And, you know, we can't sell that in the shop, in the bike shop in Columbia City, because it's going to sit. We intentionally price our bikes $350 to $400. So transportation is affordable. Bikes are affordable. And we also have a sliding scale service approach in the shop as well. But, you know, we'll work with eBay, or if we know somebody in the community who's looking for a bike like that, who will pay something for that bike, you know, we'll try to match the bike with the person. But every bike that gets donated to Bike Works, we use. It really helps drive our business.
Yeah. So the cool thing that I feel good about, and I've had these bikes for decades, they're not going to be sitting out in my garage. They're not hanging some bike rack. They're not under the house like they were last night. Right. We pulled them out. We dusted them off. And they're going to go somewhere, and they're going to do something, and they're ultimately going to help someone.
Absolutely, yeah. So they're going to get in the right hands with the right person. It could be a new rider. It could be an experienced rider. Even if we can't use the bike, the parts or the frame will be used in some sort of way.
Yeah.
And especially the, you know, a kid's bike, a youth bike, you know, we have really high demand for youth bikes. Last year we gave away over 300 bikes and those are, again, specifically in black and brown communities. We're very, very intentional about that. We also have a Bikes for All program where if you are in a certain zip code, certain socioeconomic status, you can apply for a bike for yourself or for you and your family to use for transportation. And along with that, we've have a partnership with Seattle Department of Transportation to provide lights, locks, and a helmet, all free of charge. And last year we gave away probably, I don't know, 1,500 bikes that way.
So he's Ed Ewing. He's the modern day Major Taylor. He's the director of Bike Works. And also make sure you check out that Netflix series on Major Taylor. He's the greatest cyclist that you've never heard of. All right. And now we need to hear more about him. So we're giving you Bike 55 today. We'll follow its journey. The journey of my bike's not important, but I do want to follow the journey of that bike. And I'm just glad to know if you're listening right now and you got a bike out in the garage or it's under the house like mine was, Bike Works could use that bike. And I just shared how do they get that bike in your hands, or how do they get funds in your hands? Do they go to a website and find out more? Where can they drop it off? All that stuff. What's the best?
Three things. One, you can bring it to the shop. The shop is located in Columbia City, on Ferdinand, right next to Pagliacci Pizza, right, let's say half a block south of PCC. Mm-hmm. You can also bring it to our warehouse, which is on Hudson, which is right across the street from Marination, if you know where that is. Another way for us to get your bike is to bring it to a transfer station. So the transfer station that's in Georgetown and also one that's in Fremont, bring your bike there. We have a partnership with Seattle Public Utilities. You can drop your bike off there. We pick up those bikes once a week. So there's a couple of different ways. And then also a way to get involved and to support Bike Works differently is we have our annual fundraiser, Bike Sightment, which is Sunday, April 21st. Would love for you both to be there.
I'd love to come.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a party. And it's not just a fundraiser. It's a vibe.
I love
a Bike Works fundraiser. It is a vibe. You're going to get people who show up who just rode 100 miles, and this is part of their training. You're going to get people who show up in a sport coat. And it's a wonderful opportunity for all the bike communities to mix together and support the work that we do. Mm-hmm. So that's another way to support the organization as well. Again, that's Bike Sightment. It's Sunday, April 21st.
Yeah. Is there a website that you guys have?
Yes.
People are like, I want to support Ed, and I want to support the kids.
How can I go to bikeworks.org.
Bikeworks.org.
Again, we're located in Columbia City, but bikeworks.org. We have all of our information there, and we love the support, and that's how we accomplish the work we do.
Cool.
Is through community support.
So Ed's here. I know Gary's family is listening to this. You're going to take Gary's bike, another bike today, and then I'll because I know you can carry two, and then I'm going to do that. I'll drop off the two other bikes later on today. And yeah, so bikeworks.org, you guys, if you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself, and even if you can't do the Seattle Portland, you can support that. You can support Bikeworks. You can volunteer with the Major Taylor Project. And the thing I love, man, and this is crazy, to see black and brown children pedaling their asses off riding these bikes, and to see a bunch of white people from the Cascade Bicycle Club riding with them, to see this blend of humanity. In a lot of ways, only the bike can do that. And it was very, very cool to see that. And in a lot of ways, only Ed can do that. And I saw that the morning I went to the breakfast, and I saw, you know, 500, 1,000 people in a room tied around your finger. They were listening to every word you shared because you're so passionate. And at the end of the day, I have to say, I love the pictures of your parents that you post from time to time when you're feeling their vibe, because they were some cool cats back in the day. Very inspiring when it came to social justice. And also, they were just some good looking people, man. So keep posting those pictures. I'm inspired by your relationship with them. I see that. So, Ron, anything you'd like to say as we close out today? We want to thank everyone for listening to this special edition of the Ron and Don Show. As we think about Bikeworks, Major Taylor, everything that Ed is doing there, the connections of cycling, the way it's helped us over the years, and also our good friend Gary Verrill and bike number 55 that's gonna find a new home here.
I just have an image in my mind of sort of the Hollywood ending, that the energy that I think there's energy in that purple bike, and I hope that a young person, when they saddle up in that, that energy goes into them.
Yeah.
And that 50 years from now, you have another Gary Verrill that had the same impact.
Yeah. Very cool. Bikeworks.org, if you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself. Thanks for listening to this edition, this very special edition of the Ron and Don Show. If you need us, just reach out. That's ronanddonsitdown.com, ronanddonradio.com. Everything is at ronanddon.com. Now here comes my son. He's going to lock us out for Ron, myself, Ed Ewing, our very special guest today. Paul, who is cancer-free right now, right? Is that right?
It is.
Yeah, Paul's over in Ireland, and he produces this show. He was producing it from his hospital bed. So we really appreciate him, and also John, who does all the photography, and our good friend Alex, who works with us here as well. You keep your head up. You keep your shoulders back. You keep the hammer down, right? Keep riding that bike. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Ron and Don Show on the Ron and Don Radio Network.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back, and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only.
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 Only
on the Ron and Don Radio Network.